immense number of black insects in a snowstorm, in 1827, at Pakrov, Russia. Scientific American, 3193. Fall, with snow, at Orenburg, Russia, December 14, 1830, of a multitude of small, black insects, said to have been gnats, but also said to have had flea-like motions. America Jurassic, 1-22-375. Large number of worms found in a snowstorm, upon the surface of snow about 4 inches thick, near Sangerfield, NY, November 18, 1850, Scientific American, 6-96. The writer thinks that the worms had been brought to the surface of the ground by rain, which had fallen previously. Scientific American, February 21, 1891. A puzzling phenomenon has been noted frequently in some parts of the Valley Bend District, Randolph County, Virginia, this winter. The crust of the snow has been covered 2 or 3 times with worms resembling the ordinary cut worms. Where they come from, unless they fall with the snow, is inexplicable. In the Scientific American, March 7, 1891, the editor says that similar worms had been seen upon the snow near Utica, NY, and in Oneida and Herkimer counties, that some of the worms had been sent to the Department of Agriculture at Washington. Again, 2 species, or polymorphism. According to Professor Riley, it was not polymorphism, but 2 distinct species which, because of our data, we doubt. One kind was larger than the other, color differences not distinctly stated. One is called the larvae of the common soldier beetle and the other seems to be a variety of the bronze cut worm. No attempt to explain the occurrence in snow. Fall of great numbers of larvae of beetles, near Mortain, France, May, 1858. The larvae were inanimate as if with cold. Annales Société Entomologique de France, 1858. Trans. Ent. SOC of London, 1871-183, records snowing of larvae, in Silesia, 1806, appearance of many larvae on the snow, in Saxony, 1811, larvae found alive on the snow, 1828, larvae and snow which fell together, in the Eiffel, January 30, 1847, fall of insects, January 24, 1849, in Lithuania, occurrence of larvae estimated at 300,000 on the snow in Switzerland, in 1856. The compiler says that most of these larvae live underground, or at the roots of trees, that whirlwinds uproot trees, and carry away the larvae, conceiving of them as not held in masses of frozen earth, all as neatly detachable as currents in something. In the review E.T. Magazine de Zoologie, 1849-72, there is an account of the fall in Lithuania, January 24, 1849, that black larvae had fallen in enormous numbers. Larvae thought to have been of beetles, but described as caterpillars, not seen to fall, but found crawling on the snow, after a snowstorm, at Warsaw, January 20, 1850. All the year round, 8-253. Flammarion, The Atmosphere, p. 414, tells of a fall of larvae that occurred January 30, 1869, in a snowstorm, in Upper Savoy. They could not have been hatched in the neighborhood, for, during the days preceding, the temperature had been very low, said to have been of a species common in the south of France. In La Science Pour 2, 14-183, it is said that with these larvae there were developed insects. L. Astronomy, 1890-313. That, upon the last of January, 1890, there fell, in a great tempest, in Switzerland, incalculable numbers of larvae, some black and some yellow, numbers so great that hosts of birds were attracted. Altogether, we regard this as one of our neatest expressions for external origins and against the whirlwind explanation. If an exclusionist says that, in January, larvae were precisely and painstakingly picked out of frozen ground, in incalculable numbers, he thinks of a tremendous force disregarding its refinements, then if origin and precipitation be not far apart, what becomes of an infinitude of other debris, conceiving of no time for segregation? If he thinks of a long translation all the way from the south of France to Upper Savoy, he may think then of a very fine sorting over by differences of specific gravity, but in such a fine selection, larvae would be separated from developed insects. As to differences in specific gravity, the yellow larvae that fell in Switzerland January 1890, were three times the size of the black larvae that fell with them. In accounts of this occurrence, there is no denial of the fall. Or that a whirlwind never brought them together and held them together and precipitated them and only them together. That they came from Genesis Trine. There's no escape from it. We'll be persecuted for it. Take it or leave it. Genesis Trine. The notion is that there is somewhere aloft a place of origin of life relatively to this earth. Whether it's the planet Genesis Trine, or the moon, or a vast amorphous region superjacent to this earth, or an island in the Super Sargasso Sea, should perhaps be left to the researches of other super or extra geographers. That the first unicellular organisms may have come here from Genesis Trine, or that men or anthropomorphic beings may have come here before Amoeb, that, upon Genesis Trine, there may have been an evolution expressible in conventional biologic terms, but that evolution upon this earth has been like evolution in modern Japan induced by external influences, that evolution, as a whole, upon this earth, has been a process of population by immigration or by bombardment. Some notes I have upon remains of men and animals in seastead, or covered with clay or stone, as if fired here as projectiles, I omit now, because it seems best to regard the whole phenomenon as a truism, as a geotropism, probably atavistic, or vestigial, as it were, or something still continuing long after expiration of necessity, that, once upon a time, all kinds of things came here from Genesis Trine, but that now only a few kinds of bugs and things, at long intervals, feel the inspiration. Not one instance have we of tadpoles that have fallen to this earth. It seems reasonable that a whirlwind could scoop up a pond, frogs, and all, and cast down the frogs somewhere else, but, then, more reasonable that a whirlwind could scoop up a pond, tadpoles, and all, because tadpoles are more numerous in their season than are the frogs in theirs, but the tadpole season is earlier in the spring, or in a time that is more tempestuous. Thinking in terms of causation as if there were real causes, our notion is that, if X is likely to cause Y, but is more likely to cause Z, but does not cause Z, X is not the cause of Y. Upon this quasi-sorites, we base our acceptance that the little frogs that have fallen to this earth are not products of whirlwinds, that they came from externality, or from Genesis Trine. I think of Genesis Trine in terms of biologic mechanics, not that somewhere there are persons who collect bugs in or about the last of January and frogs in July and August, and bombard this earth, any more than do persons go through northern regions, catching and collecting birds, every autumn, then casting them southward. But atavistic, or vestigial, geotropism in Genesis Trine, or a million larvae start crawling, and a million little frogs start hopping, knowing no more what it's all about than we do when we crawl to work in the morning and hop away at night. I should say, myself, that Genesis Trine is a region in the Super Sargasso Sea, and that parts of the Super Sargasso Sea have rhythms of susceptibility to this Earth's attraction. 8. I accept that, when there are storms, the damnedest of excluded, excommunicated things that are lepers to the faithful are brought down from the Super Sargasso Sea, or from what for convenience we call the Super Sargasso Sea, which by no means has been taken into full acceptance yet. That things are brought down by storms, just as, from the depths of the sea, things are brought up by storms. To be sure, it is orthodoxy that storms have little, if any, effect below the waves of the ocean, but of course only to have an opinion is to be ignorant of, or to disregard a contradiction, or something else that modifies an opinion out of distinguishability. Simon's Meteorological Magazine, 47-180. That, along the coast of New Zealand, in regions not subject to submarine volcanic action, deep sea fishes are often brought up by storms. Iron and stones that fall from the sky, and atmospheric disturbances. There is absolutely no connection between the two phenomena. Simons. The orthodox belief is that objects moving at planetary velocity would, upon entering this Earth's atmosphere, be virtually unaffected by hurricanes, might as well think of a bullet swerved by someone fanning himself. The only trouble with the orthodox reasoning is the usual trouble it's phantom dominant, it's basing upon a myth data we've had, and more we'll have, of things in the sky having no independent velocity. There are so many storms and so many meteors and meteorites that it would be extraordinary if there were no concurrences. Nevertheless, so many of these concurrences are listed by Professor Baden-Powell, Report British Association, 1850-54, that one notices. See Report. Brit. Association, 1860. Other instances. The famous fall of stones at Siena, Italy, 1794 in a violent storm. See Greg's catalogues. Many instances. One that stands out is bright ball of fire and light in a hurricane in England, September 2, 1786. The remarkable datum here is that this phenomenon was visible 40 minutes. That's about 800 times the duration that the orthodox give to meteors and meteorites. See the Annual Register. Many instances. In Nature, October 25, 1877, and the London Times, October 15, 1877, something that fell in a gale of October 14, 1877, is described as a huge ball of green fire. This phenomenon is described by another correspondent, in Nature, 17-10, and an account of it by another correspondent was forwarded to Nature by W.F. Denning. There are so many instances that some of us will revolt against the insistence of the faithful that it is only coincidence, and accept that there is connection of the kind called causal. If it is too difficult to think of stones and metallic masses swerved from their courses by storms, if they move at high velocity, we think of low velocity, or of things having no velocity at all, hovering a few miles above this earth, dislodged by storms, and falling luminously.